It is good to see all of you this evening. I hope that you've had a pleasant afternoon. I'm sure some of you had some Easter ham or something along that line since it is Easter. I know I had some ham and celebrated a birthday party with somebody today. I won't say who, Daddy, but tomorrow is his birthday. 83 young, I think. So, as announced this morning, we're going to talk about assurance tonight. Assurance by faith. John writes in 1 John 4 and verse 17, the New King James Version, he says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." The English Standard Version reads this way, "By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world." I like the English Standard Version here, because he says we have confidence, assurance, that we can abide in the love of Christ. That we can live and die and have confidence or assurance that God's love abides in us and we abide in Christ. Paul would write in Romans 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He talks about faith being based upon the very words of God, the inspired writings that we have. And when he talks about this, he's not talking about a doubtful wish. I might have a chance of going to heaven. We've got to have hope, a confident hope, assurance that if we've lived our life according to God's word, that will be our home. And it's not based on some emotional ups and downs that we may face in this life. And it's not confidence in men. Men, relatives, priests, reverends, pastors, or whatever. Our confidence is based on the word of God. It's not based on human doctrines. The reason we don't base our faith on human doctrines is human doctrines have a tendency to fail. We noticed this morning in our study about church history that the Presbyterians that came into this country in the 1600s to 1700s were divided. Divided over their concept of what the Word of God was and their fellowship with one another. So they wrote creeds, man-written creeds, that further pushed the division between them. Man's doctrine will always fail, but God's will never fail. The preacher Charles Templeton wrote "Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith" in 1995. He said he was irrevocably saved. In that, he wrote that he violates 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. He said we all violate that. We live sinful lives. And Christians can indeed deny the Lord and never repent, he says, and they will still be saved. That's the doctrine of once saved, always saved, isn't it? The gospel gives us a full, true, lasting assurance. The gospel calls us to live and to walk by faith. It calls us to God's full assurance. And the gospel gives us that solid assurance or confidence of accepted with that we accept if we accept it with a whole heart. And we want to talk today about how God gives us that full assurance today. How does God give us the confidence that we can have as His children? How do we have this full assurance that we can retain, that we can have in knowing that we are heirs to the throne of heaven? Well, as we've already pointed out, the gospel calls us to live and walk by faith. Well, what does that mean? It means that when you take the Word of God, you trust it as being true. You have confidence in all the facts that are revealed there. All of the commands and all of the promises that the Scriptures offer as being true. We don't waver. We don't doubt. We don't worry that, well, maybe God. No. We trust them as being factual, as being complete. Again, we go back to the book of Romans in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You know this passage well. Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for in it it is the power of God unto salvation. He would write in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We see here, and we act upon the spiritual realities that we find based on the evidence of God's Word. Do you believe? Do you believe that when God says something, when He makes promises to His children, that He will uphold those promises, that He will keep those promises? I do. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and He has made promises that He has never failed to keep. Promises to you and I. What this also means is that we trust God. We trust in God that He's going to banish fear and doubt about His promise to save us. He's promised salvation. Do you believe that? Do you have assurance that you can have salvation? Do you have the confidence that God will give you salvation? In John chapter 10, verses 20 through 27, He talks about total security. He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. And they follow Me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." We see here total security. Jesus says He is our shepherd, and in Him we find total security if we follow His voice. Assurance, confidence that if we listen to Him and follow Him, yes, we can have hope of salvation. But you see, there is another shoe to drop here, another side to this coin. There is security, total security, if we follow Christ and His voice. But He also talks about a lost sheep. And if we are that lost sheep, then we have no security unless we come back. If I'm that lost sheep, what confidence do I have of salvation? What assurance do I have? If I abandon the Father and the Son, then all my security is gone. We go back to 1 John, and we notice chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And here he talks about that no fear is we have no fear if we live by faith in God's Son and in God's love. We see the apostles' fellowship with God. Assurance. Assurance that they had in fellowship because they followed the Word of God. You and I can have that same assurance. Their fellowship with God was based on their eyewitness testimony. The fact that they lived with Christ, they worked with Christ, they ate with Christ, they saw Him crucified upon the cross, they saw Him risen. It's based on their eyewitness testimony, and it was confirmed to them by God's Holy Spirit. Our fellowship with God is based on believing their testimony. Our assurance that we have, our confidence that we have, is based on the fact that they wrote what God's Word, Spirit told them to write. Also, our fellowship with God is based on the fact that His love is seen in Christ that is also seen in us. So the gospel calls us to live and to walk by faith so that we can have that assurance, that confidence of salvation. But when we look at this gospel that we're called to live and to walk by, we understand that the gospel of Christ is full of God's assurance. When we read throughout the pages of God's Word, throughout the pages of the inspired Scriptures, we understand that the promise of final pardon and punishment are proven to be true historical facts. Proven to be true and historical. We read in passages like Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, where the resurrection of Christ is spoken about as fact. Jason at the Lord's table this morning referred to so many Christians, and I say that loosely, that worship God today only because of the resurrection of the Savior. I've got friends that are all over Facebook today praising God because He is risen. And how many church parking lots did you see that were absolutely overflowing today? That will not be there next Sunday. They're Plan B Christians. They only go on religious holidays. C&E Christians, as some people call them. Christmas and Easter only. You see, the Word of God tells us that these men that lived with Christ, worked with Christ, they saw His resurrection. And we're told to live every day. We memorialize His shedding of His blood and the breaking of His body upon the cross. But we are not told to memorialize His resurrection, which I understand. That's a wonderful thing. It is in the life of a Christian. To know that He was raised from the grave and resurrected, that gives us hope that we too can be resurrected. The fact of Christ's resurrection, it can't be destroyed by skeptical philosophers, those that love pleasure, and those who are proud intelligence people like those of Athens of old. God's truth and His love are revealed with certainty. It's factual. Is there any doubt that God loves you? Well, the world loves that one verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's no doubt that God loves us. There's no doubt. I mean, you can say without any uncertainty that God loves you. Luke, the great physician, investigated the life of Christ with truth and being certified by eyewitnesses. He says in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning, notice this, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know, here's that word again, the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Luke, as a physician, a doctor, investigated the very life of Christ. And he talked about with certainty the things that he instructed Theophilus. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, and in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The apostles lived during a time that they could see the fulfillment of these prophecies, confirming the truth that Jesus was the Son of God. So, we see that the gospel calls us to live and to walk by faith. We see the gospel is full of God's assurance. But this gospel gives a solid assurance if it is accepted with our whole heart. A genuine conversion that comes from the heart. Again, we go back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. And it talks about the obedience from the heart. An assurance that if we give our heart to God, our whole heart to God, to the very end, that He will give us salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12 alludes to the fact that there is an assurance if we're diligent to the very end. This gospel gives solid assurance if we accept the sacrifice of Christ with our whole heart. Again, the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 talks about embracing the full fellowship with God by the blood of Christ. The gospel gives solid assurance. If we accept it with our whole heart, faith, love, and obedience produce that assurance. Again, we go back to 1 John in chapter 3, in verses 18 through 24, and he talks about an active faith and not love without works. Now, how does God offer full assurance to us today? We understand the apostles lived with him. They saw the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. But how does he give us this assurance today? Well, we have full assurance if we enter God's family. John 3, beginning in verse 5 through verse 17, talks about that we must submit to Christ in baptism. Full assurance. Full baptism. Submit to Christ in baptism. That's how we become part of God's family. But then there are people in the world that says, well, you know, my preacher says faith only. That's all I have to do is have faith, and that's what's going to save me. I don't have to do anything else. Romans 10 and verse 17. Remember what Paul said there? Some say, well, my pastor says only the Holy Spirit baptism is all I need. Well, that's not true faith based on Romans 10 and verse 17. And then somebody says, well, what if a tree falls on that person when they're on their way to be baptized? What if they are driving and they run off the road, a drunk driver kills them? What if? I don't have answers for that. That's beyond my scope. That's between them and God. And some says, well, what about the sinner's prayer? I've heard that's all I've got to say. Again, that's not true faith based on Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear people say that all you have to do is have faith only, that's found nowhere in the Scriptures. When you hear people say, well, Holy Spirit baptism is all I have to have, there's nowhere in the Scriptures found. Somebody says, well, all I've heard is all I've got to do is say the sinner's prayer. Show me the Scripture. Show me the Scripture. It's not found. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God and hearing by the very words that God has given us. Full assurance, if we enter God's family, is how it happens today. But full assurance is in fellowship with God is what we can have. We read throughout the Psalms, and it talks about daily communication. Psalm 1, Psalm 55. We're to meditate on God's Word. We're to pray to Him. We're to talk to Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 talks about that we give diligence to grow. We have to put some effort into our growth. You can't just be baptized, say, well, I got wet, that's all I got to do. What happens next? I'm just going to wait on the day of judgment? No. You have to continue to grow, giving God the glory. In 1 John 1, verses 6 through 9, John talks about that there is humility in correcting sin and not denying it. But we also have full assurance if we trust God to deliver us. The psalmist talks about in Psalm 34 that God hears our cries. We talked this morning about the model prayer and how we talk to God and being persistent. The neighbor given in the parable there, the story, if you will, after the model prayer, that the neighbor at midnight comes and asks for bread to feed someone that's come to his house, and he says, go away, my children are done asleep. But he gives him bread anyway because of the persistence. He says in the following verses to knock, continue to knock. We need to continue to talk to God in prayer because He hears our cries. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we have this full assurance and we trust God to deliver us, because Paul talks there in that passage that God limits Satan in what he can do in this world. And 2 Peter 2 in verse 9 talks about that God knows how to deliver us. What a great blessing that we have. What a great assurance that we have. What confidence we can have if we only turn to the words of God. And then, as Paul told young Timothy, we can finish our race confident of heaven. He said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's the promise that we have. The assurance that we can have that if we're faithful to God, that if we turn to his word, that if we believe the promises that he's made to us, that we can be just like Paul as he talks about here in this scripture. The promise of heaven is ours. Again, we go back to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. We live and die by a confident assurance, by abiding in God's love and in Christ. And what we've seen is that the gospel gives us full, true, lasting assurance. The gospel calls us to walk, to live by faith. It tells us of God's full assurance. We find that in the gospel. Everything that we need to know about how to live, how to serve God, and what the hope of heaven is, and how to obtain that salvation, is found in the pages of God's Word. And we can receive full assurance today, right now. If you're here and you've never submitted to Christ in baptism, this is an opportunity for you to gain that full assurance, to have that confidence that heaven is within your grasp. John talks about in 1 John 1 and verse 9 that saints who fall can be restored. If you're here tonight and you are a saint who has left the fold and you are in need of repenting, confessing your sins as public as they may be, this is an opportunity for you. If you're here and you need to respond to the invitation, either by putting Christ on in baptism, becoming part of the family of God, or by coming back to the family of God, I encourage you to respond while we stand together and sing.